Today on Real Radio.
Don't keep praying until you hear the yes. Don't keep praying until you hear the no. Keep praying until you hear the answer. And when you get the answer, Christian, remember, when God answers, that's the answer.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13, which records a lot of these parables and explains also what parables are, as well as their audience and their intent. Now this time, we're also going to look at Luke chapter 11, where we read of another of these analogies, if you will, which is also a challenge to the listener, by the way, that speaks of persistence. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called The Parable of Persistent Prayer.
How long should we be persistent at prayer regarding an issue? How long? Until you get an answer. Well, do I pray once or twice, three times, 25 times? Listen, remember how I told you a moment ago, God sometimes will answer my prayer and I can put a stopwatch to it? What brought tears to my eyes today in preparation for this is on the other side of that equation is I have seen God and I'm watching God answer prayer now, and this is what blew my mind. I totally forgot that God is answering prayer right now that I prayed 30, 40, or 35 years ago. So what are you saying? I'm saying now as I'm living life and I'm seeing things going on and I'm seeing family and I'm seeing ministry and seeing stuff, that I've been reminded by the Holy Spirit that these were things I prayed about 35 years ago as a new believer. And now they're happening. Can I say this without discouraging you? Apparently, God told me to wait about 35 years for the answer. Can you handle that? I don't care if you handle it or not. You're going to have to handle it. It's a fact. There's stuff that God, you've asked God about, and it's been 12 years. And I can just hear women right now saying, I've been praying for a man. I've been praying for a man. How much longer do I have to wait? Believe me, it's better to wait than to get some buffoon, to get some buffoon of your own making. Wait, ladies, wait. I can't take it anymore. I gotta marry somebody. Oh no, somebody call the paramedics or something. Don't do that. No, listen, in the face of fear, we're to be persistent. Yesterday, I was in Minnesota, Monday and Tuesday, speaking to pastors there, and I was checking out of the hotel, and the concierge there at the hotel, not a Christian, you could see he was just trembling, and his daughter, 6 weeks ago, was diagnosed, she's 6 years old, diagnosed with cancer. And you pray, right? And what's going to become of that child? Only God knows. But that mother and that father, it doesn't have to be absolute devastation. It doesn't have to be. Because God is even in those issues and those situations of life. Fear can absolutely destroy you if you have nowhere to go in prayer. By the way, let me say this. I have no doubt in my mind that everyone prays eventually. Everyone prays at some point in time. Everyone, Lord, teach us to pray. I think it's within the human heart to pray. I don't care who you're thinking about. Oh, you don't know, my grandfather is such an atheist. Yeah, for now. Listen, I have found out people who are atheists, they can afford to be. They can afford to be atheists until their kidneys stop working. Or until, do you hear what I'm saying? Their heart stops. It's easy to say you're an atheist when things are going smooth. It's pretty amazing to see how many atheists cry out to God in prayer when there's a big bump in the road. I'm convinced everyone will eventually pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and this is a great thing to combat fear. Listen, fear, worry, anxiety, stress. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You say, oh man, you're digging a hole for me. Jack, how can I get out of this? It's getting worse. No, wait a minute. The word ceasing means uninterrupted. Oh, it's getting worse. You mean just pray without interruption? Yes. The word means pray without omission, pray without ending. What does that mean? That means walk, live, go to work, go to sleep, wake up, go to the bathroom, drive an airplane, whatever you drive an airplane, fly your car. whatever you do, talk to God. Oh, Lord, this, and oh, Lord, that's a nice thing, and that's, and Lord, lead me, and what about this thing? And aren't you constantly getting information all the time about stuff? Pray. Well, do I stop? No, keep walking. Do I pull over? No, keep going. Do I close my eyes? Keep them open. Just be in the attitude of praying to God. How often? All the time. You can do this? I think you do it. I think you do. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. I don't feel like God is near. Call upon him. He is near to those who call upon him and to all who call upon him in truth. What is that? All those who call upon him biblically. What does that mean? Not my will, but thy will be done. This is the biggest hindrance, I think, to our prayer life is we go to God. And we might veil it and drape it, but we go to God with our agenda. I want it to go this way. And I'm going to take it to God and get it out there. Have him bless it. And then I'll get it done. No. Remember, this is a parable of contrast. If a human will do this eventually, then God is ready to answer. Years ago, somebody said to me, do you have God's phone number? Do you have God's phone number? I thought they were nuts. What? Do you have God's phone number? I go, what are you talking about? This is kind of cute. Are you ready? You want to write it down? This is what the little kid said. It's Jeremiah 33:3. What? It's Jeremiah 33:3. Call Jeremiah 33:3. Go, what is that? Call to me, right? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How are you going to know? You won't know unless you call to him. I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. I'm filled with fear. You know why? Because you don't know what's up. I don't know what's up, so you freak out. God says, call to me. I'll answer you. And I'll show you what's up. Isn't that neat? Yes. J.C. Ryle, the old scholar and theologian of yesteryear, listen to what he said. This is awesome. God is the one who does not sleep. He's commenting on this parable. God is the one who does not sleep. He is the one who awakens us from our sleep and prompts us to seek him and to ask of him. Isn't that great? I love that. God, does God ever wake you up in the night? Don't you? I mean, I say this respectfully. Don't you hate that? Because he doesn't wake you up like, you know, hey, let's hang out. What do you want? No, it's always with something. Have you ever been sleeping and you wake up and it's like this? You're sleeping and it's in your friend's name or somebody. Boom, their name. Boom. Sometimes God just wakes you up and you know, because you know how you normally wake up. It's like, oh, and you're tossing and turning, wrestling with the sheets, and it's little, oh, and you got to get up. And then there's times when you go like this. You're just, you know what I'm talking about? Lights on. You just might as well get up and go pray. God will knock on our door. Hey, let's talk about bread. I want to talk to you. He's amazing. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. This is cool. I think this is wonderful. How should we enter prayer? Philippians 4:6 is the New Testament counterpart to Psalm 100. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. Listen, Pastor, say that again. Be anxious for nothing. That'd bring joy, huh? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, that will whip fear. Third, persistent prayer in the face of waiting. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend. Notice this. Look, we're friends. I got bread. You've got the need. I'm not getting out of bed because of that. Be hungry till the morning. Tell your friend to wait. We'll be friends in the morning. I'll take care of it then. That's what he's saying. Yet, because of his persistence, he will rise. Why? Because remember, the family name cannot be shamed in the village. Oh, right. And opens the door and here you go. Get out of here. The guy goes back to bed. He saved his village. He saved his home. He saved his name. The guy got what he wanted and went back home to feed his buddy. Everybody wins. Jesus is teaching by contrast, saying, God's not like that. If you can be persistent at your neighbor's door, then why can't you be persistent at God's door and expect not only an answer, but be happy about the answer he gives you? It's going to be the right answer. I prayed to God and I got this answer from God and I think it was the wrong answer. Hey, you never say it like that, but that's what you're thinking. He doesn't give the wrong answer. Never. This word persistence, some of the margins in your Bible have the word shamelessness or shameless. To ask shamelessly, it means, watch, this is beautiful. It means the person asking is shameless. Listen to this. The word means shameless tenacity, shameless stubbornness. They won't go away. And now this guy on the inside, the same word applies to him. Family name. Everybody knows us. It's our culture to do this. Oh, I gotta get up. Both are persistent. Isn't that neat? Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wow. Wait like this. I'm going to go through this very quickly. It won't be on the screens, so write fast. Genesis 18, and a great example of waiting in prayer upon the Lord, Abraham's persistence with God at Sodom and Gomorrah. Is amazing. Genesis 32, Jacob's persistence in wrestling with God. He said to the angel of the Lord, which was none other than a theophanies, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel turns and says, you have wrestled with God and you have prevailed. Your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. Moses' persistent intercession for Israel in Exodus 32 is awesome. Will not relent to stand and represent Israel to the Lord. Hannah, in her persistence to ask God for a son, 1 Samuel 1. God, give me a baby, give me a baby, give me a baby. Elijah, in his persistence in 1 Kings 18, asking for rain. It's amazing. You can go on and on throughout the Bible. Keep praying until you get the answer. Please understand what I'm saying. Don't keep praying until you hear the yes. Don't keep praying until you hear the no. Keep praying until you hear the answer. And when you get the answer, Christian, remember, you're supposed to be hip on discipleship and being a Christian and following Jesus. 101, discipleship. When God answers, that's the answer. Why do I say it like this? Because Christians around the world, when they want something, they'll go to a ministry or to a pastor or to somebody or to a friend, and they'll say, what do you think? Blah, 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 blah. And the person says, the Bible says you shouldn't do that. And then they go off to the next pastor, and they say, the story changes just a little bit. And they go, look, it happens here every day. I'm serious. It happens at every church every day. People will come and try to sample opinions of people like God is into Gallup polls or something. And when the person finds someone, 8 people can tell them, no, you shouldn't be doing that, the Bible says. 1 person who doesn't know their nose from their toe says, oh, whatever, you know, whatever feels good, do it, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, brother, the Lord spoke to me. This happens all the time. Emotionally based theology rather than biblically based theology. It's not good. Persistent prayer, verse 5, in the face of need. Look at it says in verse 5, give him as many as he needs. The man gets up and gives the guy 3 loaves of bread. You know what's cool about this? As I said earlier, Matthew 6, 8 says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Have you noticed that God never goes like this? He never goes, how much, what is it? All right, here you go. Don't spend it all in one spot. Here's some oxygen. Don't waste it. He gives more. By the way, I think God gives more, and he tests our hearts of what we will do with it. See, the man will give what the guy asked for. Doesn't God always give pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of abundance and whatever it is? Opportunity. God's supply is always enough. But sometimes it can be very painful, his supply. What if in your prayer and if in your need, God says, listen, everyone, God says to you, God says to me, I know what you have need of before you ask, Jack. And so, this is my answer for you. For example, Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah is crying out to God. The wicked are prospering. You're blessing them. We're losing. Evil's advancing. The nation's gone down the tubes. I mean, Jeremiah 12, it's like reading today's newspaper. And he's whining. And you know what God's, and he's praying. He's praying to God. You know what God winds up saying to him? It's around verse 4 or 5. You can look at it later. Here's God's answer. And listen, sometimes God will answer you and I this way. Jeremiah, if you've walked with the footmen and they've wearied you, then what are you going to do when the chariots arrive? If you're having a hard time right now, while it's easy, what are you going to do when the Jordan River overflows it? Jeremiah, suck it up. You're whining now? You haven't seen anything yet. I'm answering your prayer. You are praying for the nation, Jeremiah. But I know what has to happen to get the nation to turn around. And so here's what's going to happen. The enemies are going to invade. And they are going to take over. And this nation is going to be brought into captivity by its enemies. I'll still love you. I'm still on the throne, Jeremiah. You're still my boy. But it's going to get ugly. You are going to be beaten within an inch of your life, thrown into a pit with a hole in the ceiling in mud up to your armpits for days on end. In fact, you're almost going to die in there. I'm answering your request. Church, God has the sovereign right to do that to you and I anytime. He knows our need. We think we do, and so if I just get another scratch and sniff or whatever the lottery thing is, I don't know, whatever play ball deal, and all my prayers will be answered. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, I've been praying. I haven't gotten an answer. Well, it could be 35 years. Wait on the Lord in your need. Don't panic, dear friend. Don't panic, Christian. Man, I'm so lonely. You don't know how lonely I am. That's why he's God. Look, you can be in a house full of people and be lonely. Don't not wait on him for anything. His answer is coming. His answer may completely change your life. The Christian must be open to his answer. We've watched so many friends suffer lately. And yet, God is answering prayers. What if to God it is a wise investment that when you and I pray like we do, oh God, draw me closer. I want to know you more. I want to be a real Christian that rocks the world for Jesus. I want to decrease so he increases. When I stand before you in the end, I don't want to be ashamed. I want to have my life matter for you. Really? God says, really? Well, that's awesome. The only way then that I can do that and you won't go nuts about it and take all the credit is for me to do this to you now. That will prepare you for what's going to come. Are you willing to live your life in such a way that it winds up leading your godless, unbelieving neighbor into a forever loving, Christ-worshiping heaven? Oh God, make us persistent in prayer. To enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving and joy. And here's where we land. Knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. See, all that negative stuff I said a second ago, true. But God will never let the defeat, apparent defeat, be greater than the victory and the glory. He won't do that. He never runs in the deficit. He's not a politician. He's God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of Persistent Prayer. A look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 through 8. The parable of persistent prayer is part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And don't forget that if Real Radio is part of your day, let's say you're a regular listener, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and share your story. Pastor Jack loves to hear from listeners. He really does. In fact, email your comments to mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We'd love to hear from you. Or if you'd like to send a handwritten letter or type it up and print it out, here's our mailing address. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.